We begin the current daven, Sechta Sayt, the daven mem base. We begin 23 lines down from the top of the Yamud. The Gemara continues with the next parak, the 8th parak of Sechta Sayt, the parak Meshuach Mochama, which continues on the theme of the previous parak, which again opened up Elu Nemaran. It defined two different categories, things that can be said in any language, and different things that could be only said in Lashon HaKadosh. And we continue with the category of things which can only be said in Lashon HaKadosh. That is Meshuach Mochama. Regarding a specific kain that was anointed for this position of in charge, as the name connotes, Meshuach is the one who's anointed for the wars that the Jewish people fight, whereas the Pasuk says it has to be a kain that's v'nigas ha-kain, that he comes up and he makes these announcements, and the Gemara is going to explain exactly what is it that the kain says when they're fighting war in regards to the motivation and the selection of those who are fighting in the army. So the Mishnah tells us that this one, the kain, was anointed for this job of the war, b'shosh medaba la'am, at the time when he speaks to the people, to the army, b'loshna kodesh medaba, he would speak in loshna kodesh, in the biblical Hebrew, again, which is from those category of things that can only be said in loshna kodesh. And then, like it says, the pasuk in Devarim, it says, v'hoyo kikarovchem el ha'mochama, that it will be that when you will come near to the war, v'nigas ha'kayin, that the kayin will come near. Who is this kayin? Zek kayin meshuach mochama, this is the kayin that's anointed for this job by the war. Now, when the pasuk then says v'dibra la'am, that he speaks to the people, that's b'lashon hakodesh. That's in lashon hakodesh. And the Gemara is going to explain where do you see from this word that it has to be in lashon hakodesh. Then the next pasuk says v'amar aleihem, and that he says to them Shema Yisrael, hear O Israel, b'gayim etc. Where the pasuk there says atem kareivim hayim la'mochama, that today you're coming near to fighting a war al oyevechem. So you're telling me you're coming to fight your enemies. What does it mean to say by this? Who else? So that the Mishnah explains, v'loy alachechem, the Kohen was telling them, you're not fighting against your brothers. In other words, lo Yehuda al Shimon, this is not a fight between Shevet Yehuda and Shevet Shimon. V'loy Shimon al Binyamin, this is not Shevet Shimon fighting with Shevet Binyamin. In other words, because Shem tiplu b'yadom yirachma alechem. If you were fighting a civil war amongst one of the other Shvatim, they would at least have mercy on you. Kamash Nema, like it says in the history regarding, as it says in Sefer Divra Yamim Beis, whereby Pekach ben Remaliyahu, who was from the leader of the tribes of Israel, who fought with Achaz, who was from Yehuda, from Judea, that, as it says in Divra Yamim, that they captured from the people of Yehuda many of them. Now, there was a prophet there by the tribes of the Yisrael, of the ten Shvatim, that his name was Oded. And he rebuked the B'nai of the Yisrael and said to them, what? Because of the anger that Hashem had on the B'nai Yehuda, that they were given over to your hands, now you smite them till that they're almost totally decimated? And now you're even saying that you want to take the remnants of them as slaves? So he said to them, listen to me, return their captives. Now the Pasuk says, Vayikumu ha'noshim asher nikvu b'shemes, so the men that were designated by their names, meaning the more respected ones of the B'nai Yisrael, they were vayechziku b'shevayo. They went and they took hold of the captives which they had taken from the shevet of Yehuda, and v'chol ma'arameim helbishu min hashol, and all their naked ones they clothed, which the spoils they had taken from the war. Vayalbishim vayanilum, that they clothed them, they gave them shoes to wear. Vayachilum vayashkum vayesuchum, they gave them to eat, they gave them to drink, and they anointed them. Vayinalum b'chamoyim l'chol koshol, and any one of the captives that was too weak, that wasn't able to walk by foot, They took them on their donkeys. They brought them to Yericho, to Jericho, the city of the date palm trees, near to their brothers, and they took them back to Shomron. So that is what essentially the Kohen HaMeshuach Mochama is telling them. You're not fighting your brothers, whereas we find in history that they had mercy on the rest of the Jews that they're fighting with. Rather, you're going to fight your enemies. If you fall into their hands, in Marachim Aleichem, they're not having any mercy on you. Now the pasuk continues that it says that the Kohen would tell them, Al Yerech Levavchem, don't be soft of heart. Don't let your heart be softened. Al Tiru, do not be afraid. Val Tachpezu, and don't panic, Begayim, etc. So what are all these different terminologies that the Kohen Meshuach Mochama was telling them? So the Mishnah explains, Al Yerech Levavchem, when he says, don't let your heart be softened, that's in reference to the Tzahalas Susim. That's because of the neighing and the noises that the horses make. and the tzichtzu acharoves and the glittering of the swords in the sun, this is overwhelming for a person. So al yerech levavchem, don't let your heart be softened by these. That's a reference to those things. Then when he continues, he says, al tiru, do not be afraid. That's when the hagofes to reason. That's because that the enemy would take and bang together their shields, one to the other, so that it makes this loud noise as if there's masses and hordes of enemy soldiers coming to intimidate those that they're fighting with. And that is what he's saying, al tiru, do not be afraid. And also v'shifas hakaglaskin. That's also a reference to the hordes of the soldiers that there are. These are things that he's saying, don't be afraid of. And when he says, al tachpesu, do not panic, that's a reference, mikol kronos, from the sound of the horns that they're blowing. Don't panic from that. Al tarzu, when the Kohen Moshe Muhammad says to the soldiers, do not be broken, that's when they call tzavachis, because of the sounds of the shouts that they're screaming, all those noises. Don't be broken from that. Now, as the pasuk says over there, kashem lekechem ahilchem achem, because of Hashem, your God that goes with you. What does that mean? So the Mishnah explains what the Kohen Moshe Rabbeinu is telling the Jewish people. They're coming to conquer with the might of flesh and blood. And you're coming with the might and the vanquishing of the Creator, of the one who holds the space for the whole entire world. As the Mishnah explains, for example, the Philistines, the Pelishtim came with the might of Goliath, which is this great giant. What was the end? The end, he fell on the sword, and all those people, the Pelishtim, fell with him. So to Bnei Amon, Bo Bnei Tzchinu Shel Shevach, the people of Amon came with the might of Shevach, who was the general of Derazar. And Maha Yosef, what was the end of them? At the end, he fell in the sword, and they all fell with him. V'atem, i'atem kein. This is what the Kohen Moshe Muhammad is saying in the pasuk. You're not like this. As the pasuk says, because you have Hashem, your God, that's going with you to fight with you. What is that a reference to? Zemach na'aron. That's a reference to the camp of the Aron, meaning the Aron with the Torah inside, with the luchos, goes with the Jewish people when they're fighting the war. You're going with Hashem. There's a whole different playing field. They're coming with the might of flesh and blood, and you're coming with the might of the Creator of the world. Now the Gemara asks, as we alluded to, the question: My ka'amar, what does the Tanya, the Mishnah, mean to say? How do you learn from the words of Daber Elam that it has to be in Lashon HaKodesh? So that the Gemara says, what the source for this limud is, it should name, like it says in the pasuk, as we mentioned in the Mishnah B'Dibur, that he speaks to the people. Now, Ulhal Noimah, there's a different pasuk in Shemos that says, Moshe Yidaber V'Olekim Yenenu B'Kol, that Moshe spoke, and God responded with the voice. Now, Malahalam Lashon HaKodesh, just like over there, the Dibur is a reference to Lashon HaKodesh, where he was giving over the words of the Torah. Avkam Lashon HaKodesh, also the same word Dibur is a reference to Lashon HaKodesh. That's how we know that the Mashiach Muhammad's words have to be spoken in the holy tongue in Lashon HaKodesh. Now, the Gemara brings a brisa that elaborates on this. Tanya Rabbanan, learn the brisa. It says in the pasuk that we quoted before, V'nigers HaKohen V'Dibur Elo'am, that the Kohen comes near and he speaks to the people. Now, says the Braisa, Yochel Kol Kohen Sheyirtzu, you would think any Kohen that wants to could do this job of coming to the war and talking to the people. Tam Aleima, that's what the pasuk teaches over there, V'Dibur HaShoytrim, that the officers speak. Now, Ma Shoytrim B'Mamunah, just like, I mean, obviously it's not an officer, as we'll see exactly later on, who actually does the talking, but it's the Kohen. So why is it saying the officer? To tell you this comparison of Mashreichin B'Mamun, just like officers are appointed to be officers, not everyone can be a police officer and give someone a ticket or whatever it is, just like an officer is appointed, Avkayin B'Mamun, here also the Kayin that's doing this job by the war, someone that's appointed. So therefore it can't be any Kayin that wants to. So ask the Gemara of Imi Kayin Gadol, maybe it's a reference to the Kayin Gadol, who he's appointed to the office of being the high priest. So that the Gemara answers, no, Demi D'Sheiter. It has to be comparable to someone that's like an officer, with Ma Sheiter Shesh Mamun Al Gabav, just like an officer has someone appointed over him, where because it's the judges that appoint the officers, because that's what the officer's job is to do, is to enforce what the judges have decided should be done. So Av Kohen Shesh Mamun Al Gabav, it has to be referencing a Kohen that's appointed, that has someone else appointed above him. That would not be the case by the Kohen Gadol. And the other thing we ask, why? Kohen Gadol Nami Ikar Melech Agabav. The Kohen Gadol has on top of him in the hierarchy the king. So there is someone higher appointed than him. The other thing says, no, because Bavidasa Kama. It means someone that's higher above him appointed for the line of work that he's in. An officer is in the same line of work as a judge in that same line. So too, the Kohen Mashiach Mochama is appointed with someone above him in the same line of work as being a Kohen, which is Kohen Gadol. But the Kohen Gadol in his own line of work doesn't have anyone above him, and therefore he wouldn't be comparative to what a Shreiter is. So that the Gemara has Ve'im Eskan. Maybe it's talking about the Skan, who's considered the deputy. In other words, he's appointed and to be the second in command to the Kohen Gadol, and there's someone above him that's appointed, which is the Kohen Gadol. So how do you know there's a separate office of a Meshach Mochama? Maybe it's the Skan. I think my answer is no, Skan Lav Mamunahu. The deputy doesn't really have an appointment. To tell you, like, Luna Bryce, the Amram Chanina bit Skan HaKahanim, who he was the Skan HaKahanim, he says, Lamo Skan Mamunahu. For what office is it that the Skan, the deputy, is appointed? What is he prepared for? So in that he explains, Shem Ira by Psul B'Kohen Gadol, the idea is that if there comes an invalidating factor in the Kohen Gadol, that nichnas mishamish tachtav, that right away they have someone prepared, second in command, that can go ahead and take it over his job and do the avodah that the Kohen Gadol has to be doing. But however, the idea is, as long as there's no invalidating factor in the Kohen Gadol, essentially there is no appointment that's given to the askan Kohen Gadol. He's just there in case. Until that happens, he doesn't really have anything, and therefore he's not mamuna, therefore he can't be the one that's comparable to the shaiter, and that's how we know that the one who does this job is the specific Kohen Mashiach Mochama who is appointed for this job and has someone else on top of him. Now the Mishnah said, quoting the Pasuk, that Va'amar Aleim Shema Yisrael, that this Kohen Mashiach Mochama tells the soldiers, he says to them, Hear, O Israel. Now the Gemara wonders, Maishno Shema Yisrael, why is it that his opening remarks, like, yeah, he's starting to get their attention, but why do you use the words Shema Yisrael? It's uncanny that these are very well-known words of Shema Yisrael. Why does he say, Oh, hear, O Israel? So, that Amalan HaKadosh Baruch Hu Yisrael, HaKadosh Baruch Hu is telling a message to the Jewish people. Afilu lo kiyamtim, ele kriya Shema Shachar Tzva'aris, even if you have only fulfilled recital of the Shema in the morning and the night, which is the mitzvah of kriya Shema, you're not going to be given over to their hands. And that's why he opens up with the word Shema Yisrael to reference the Shema Yisrael, which is the Kriya Shema, which we say in the morning and the evening. Now the Mishnah quotes the Pasuk that the Kohen Mashiach Mochama says to them, which is, Al Yerech Lavavchem, don't let your hearts be softened, Al Tiru V'chulu, do not be afraid, and so on. So turn back within the Braisa, Pamayim Medabirma, there's two times that the Kohen Mashiach Mochama talks to the soldiers. Achas besvar, one time it's by the boundaries when they're leaving their land, and v'achas b'mochama, one time it's by the war itself. So the Braisa explains besvar mahu, and what does he say from his statements mentioned in Pesukim by the boundary when he's leaving the land of Eretz Yisrael? So as we get here on Tamid Beis, he first says, Shimu divri ma'arche ha'mochama. First he says, listen to the order and the structure of how the war is. In other words, who is fit to go into the war, who is fit to have to come back and not fight in the war, and the Chizru, those who are fit to come back and not fight, they come back, for example, as the Pasuk says regarding someone that built a house just recently, or he just planted a vineyard, or he just got engaged, or someone that's afraid and he has soft of heart. Now, Rashi points out, although it says regarding those parts of the Pesukim, the Dibur HaShoitrim, that it's the officers that say those and not the Kohen, later on, the Gemara is going to explain that it's actually the Kohen that says it, but it's just the officers who amplify that and say that to the masses to hear what he was saying. So again, by the boundary when they're leaving is where he says all these ideas, okay, who gets to fight and who doesn't. But Mochama Mahoim, what does he say by the actual war itself? Then he says the motivating words, as it says in the Pasuk in Devarim, Al Yerech Lavavchem, don't let your hearts become softened. Al Tiru, don't be afraid, Val Tachpasu, don't panic, Val Tarzu, don't be broken. Now, there's four different Azharis, four different warnings to the Jewish people, Keneged Arba'a Devarim, Sha'ivdei Kachav Ma'isin, which correlate to the four things that the non-Jews do when they're fighting the wars to intimidate their enemies, which are Magifin, this that they clash together their shields, Umarin, and that they make these loud blows with their horns, Tzavachin, this that they shout with their voices, and for Ramesin, this that they have the stampeding and the neighing of the horses. Those are the four things that he warns them, Al Yerech Lavavchem, Al Tiru, Al Tachbetzu, and Al Tarzu. Now, however, although we mentioned in the Mishnah other things like the glittering of the swords and the hordes of the soldiers, those are not things that they do to intimidate. That's the actual war that could cause fear in the hearts of the Jewish soldiers. But regarding tactics that they do, those are four things. Those are the four things that the Braisa says, he tells them of al yerech levavchem al tir al tachbatsu and al tartzu. Now the Mishnah said, which was contrasting, that don't worry about them. They're coming with the might of flesh and blood. You're coming with the might of hamakim, of the one who holds the space for the world itself. So some examples, the Mishnah says, Polishtim bo benitzchin shal galyas v'chulot. The Philistines, they came with the might of galyas and see what happened to them at the end. So the Gemara explains a little bit, who was this galyas? Galyas, Amar B'yechin, and he says, where does his name come from? Sh'amad begilu panim, it's the word gal, that he came with the literal definition, means say that a revealed face, which is always considered the word of audacity. A person is brazen, it's always regarding the face. He has chutzpah. Lefnei HaKadosh Baruch Hu, he came with audacity in front of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Shema, like it says in Pasuk in Shmuel Aleph, where Goliath said to the Jewish people, Bru lechem ish, choose for yourself a man, v'yerid elai, and let him come down to me. Meaning, pick whoever you want to fight me. Now, but in his words, when he said choose an ish, v'ein ish elai HaKadosh Baruch Hu, the reference ish is references to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Shema, like it says in Pasuk in Shmais, it says, Hashem ish melcham, Hashem is an ish of war. So that was what he was saying. He had the audacity to challenge God to a war. So HaKadosh Baruch Hu said, Hareini mapiloi al yad benish. He says, yeah, even pick an ish, meaning he wants to fight with God himself. I will actually cause his downfall, not just from an ish, but the ben ish, a son of a man, meaning which obviously connotes even a lower level. Shemaka says, the Pasuk in Shmuel Aleph, that v'david ben ish efrasi hazeh. He was a young lad. He was a ben ish, the son of a man from Ephrat. That is who ended up taking down Goliath. Now, another teaching from Amr B'yechon and Meshum Reb Meir. B'yechon says, "B'shleishim mekaymais l'chadoi piv lo'iser Rasha." There were three places where that wicked person, that Goliath, that his own mouth indicated his downfall. Echad, one is the pasuk we just quoted before, where he says, "Beru lechem ish, choose for yourself a man, v'yerid elai, let him come down to me." Which the understanding is from the way it was written, could mean that the Yerud all lie, and that he'll come down on me, meaning to say that whoever you're going to choose is actually going to overpower me and win me, because as Rashi says, he should have said, V'yilochem iti, that he'll fight with me. The Yerud a lie sounds like almost that he's saying that he'll come down on me and that he will win. V'idach, another place that his own mouth showing his downfall, where he says, Im yochel li'lochem iti v'ikani v'gremen, that if he could fight with me, whoever you're going to choose, and he's going to smite me, he's going to harm me. So you see that he's indicating his own downfall. Now Rashi says, although later on the Pasuk says, but if I could overpower him, then I'm going to kill him. But still, since he opened up with his own downfall, that is that's illustrating that his downfall. Now v'idach the kamalei ledavar, in the third place where he shows and he ensnares himself with his own words, is what he tells David, Hakelav anoichi, am I a dog? Can't the boy Lebamakas, you're coming to fight me with sticks? So you see that at least he's indicating that he's like a dog, that he's going to be killed, he's going to be harmed with these sticks that David HaMelech is coming to fight him with. Now the Gemara asks, but David Nami Amale, but David also opened up his statement, seemingly the same as Goliath's, where he said, At the boy Lebamakas, that you're coming to me, fight me with a sword, Bechanis of a Kidon, with a spear and with a javelin, which is some type of a spear, where he's also opening up seemingly the same thing, that as if Goliath is going to harm him. So I think Moran says no, because David hada amale. David ended up, he finished that statement by saying, V'nuchi bo'aylecha b'shem Hashem tzavakas. I'm coming to you with the name of Hashem, the Lord of hosts, Elikei marchis Yisrael ha-shecharafta, the God of the legions of the Jewish people, which you have blasphemed, where that the idea is here, what he started off with was not talking about his own downfall. To the contrary, what he was saying was, you're coming to fight me and to vanquish me with things that have no substance. What? With a spear? With a sword? I'm coming to fight you with Hashem, who he runs the whole world. And therefore, to the contrary, when he was starting off with an opening to say that you're not coming with anything. Gemara continues with another statement from Rabbi Yechon and Goliath. It says in the Pasuk, Vayigash Plishti Hashkim Harab, that this Plishti was intimidating the Jewish people. He would come to them in the morning and at night. So Amr B'Yechanan, he says, why was he coming to intimidate the Jewish people in the morning and night? Was Kedei Levat LeMekriyishma Shachas V'Arvis, was to stop them from saying Kriyishma and to scare them away in the morning and night time. So too, when it says Vayisyatzi V'Arbom Yom, that he stood there for 40 days, Amr B'Yechanan is Kenegid Arbom Yom Shnitna B'Hentar. That correlates to the 40 days that the Torah was delayed, where from the time that they left till when they actually received the Torah, that gave him the power to stand there for 40 days because of the delay of the Torah being given for 40 days. Now the pasuk says regarding Golias, "Vayetzi ish habeinayim mimachnes plishtim begayim," that there came out a man of Beinayim from amongst the camps of the Plishtim. So the Gemara asks, "My Beinayim, what does the word Beinayim mean?" So we have a few different interpretations. Amar Rav, he says, it's from the word of Binyan, Shemavuna, he is like built, but it also means on some level that he was clean and perfected from Mikol Mum, from any blemish, meaning there was nothing wrong with him. He was fully functioning in all his faculties. Ushmulam, he says a different term of Binayim, of the word Beinani, somewhere in the middle. Beinani Shabachav, he was the middle of the road of all his brothers, meaning there were four brothers, as the Gemara later on show that there was four of them. The Beir Shilam, he says that in the Yeshiva Reb Shila, they say, Shu Asu Kebinyan, comes from the word of building, where he was built like a building. Reb Yechon Amar, he has a different interpretation of what does it mean that he was Ish HaBinayim. He was Bar Meyo Pape V'chodanani. In other words, he was the son of a mixture, meaning because in one night there were many men that cohabited with his mother. Now, she became impregnated from one of them, so it comes out that only one of them was his father, and all the other ones were adulterers with his mother. Now, that's what it means, that he was the son of 100 papis, because the word papi in Persian means stepfather, and he had one nani, which in Persian means father. So that's what the term Ish HaBeinayim means, to say he was a man that came out from the word of Bain, that came out from amongst many men, where all these men cohabited with his mother in one night, and we don't know who is his father and who's, quote, his stepfather, meaning all the other people that had relations with his mother. Now the pasuk says, Golias Shmoi Migas, his name was Golias, who came from Gas. Now, although the Gas is the name of a place, but Tanya Rav Yosef interprets what this means is Shakol Doshenes Imay Kegas, because everyone would thresh, which literally means to say a euphemism for cohabitation, as Imay Kegas, with his mother, like a wine press where everyone would just press. Similarly, Ksiv, there's a pasuk in Shmuel Aleph that says, and this is this pasuk that we just quoted before, which says Vehine Isha Beinayim Oilo, which was Golias HaPalishti Shmoi Migas. Now the pasuk says, the way it's written in the Navi is Mimoritz Pelishtim, that he came up from the caves of the Pelishtim. But Ukarina Marach is actually the way it's pronounced. There are many words in the Torah where the Messiah has it written as one way, but it's pronounced another way when it's, let's say, read by the Torah. It was Ukarina Marach, but we read it from the legions of the Pelishtim. So why is it written Ma'aris? So Tanya Rav Yosef, taught in the Braisa that it's from the word of Shakol Heru Be'imoy. Hara is a term of the beginning of cohabitation that everyone copulated with his mother. Again, signifying this idea about what type of a mother he came from, which is this immorality. So to Ksiv, there's a pasuk in Shmuel Beis that says Harafa. It says that Asher Beyal de Harafa, that were from the sons of Harafa, which, as the Gemara is going explains, that's actually the same woman as Uksiv Arpa, where it says in the pasuk in Rus, it says that there were two daughter-in-laws by Nami, one was Rus and one was Arpa, where it was decreed that the sons of Arpa should fall by the sword to the sons of Rus, which she actually cleaved to the Divine Presence, in contrast to Arpa. So Harafa and Arpa are the same woman. So Rav and Shmuel have a disagreement about what was her real name and what was the name that was given to her because of her character. Chara Maharafa Shma. One says that her real name, like it said in Shmuel Beis, was Harafa. So V'lo B'nikra Shma Arpa. So why in Rus is she called Arpa? And the reason being is, again, connoting this idea where Golias comes from this lady, where if she was immoral, Shakol Orphan Oysim Acharao, because everyone would sodomize her from behind, again, where the term Orif connotes the neck, which means to say that she acted like an animal, where that's how animals copulate, which is the face facing the back of the other one. That's exactly how his mother was. Now, B'chadama, Arpa, the other one says that actually her real name was, like it said in Rus, which is Arpa, V'lamanik Rishma Harafa, and the Y in Shmuel, Sefer Shmuel, is she called Harafa? again, connoting the same idea, shakol doshen oisik harifas, because everyone would thresh her, like harifas, which refers to crushed wheat, about threshing it, again, connoting the same idea about how she cohabited with all different types of men. And the Chayin Omer, so too, as the Pasuk, as the Gemara wants to illustrate this idea that harifas is a reference, and that's why her name is harafa, to crushed grain, so too it says the Pasuk in Shmuel Beis, says Vatika Chaisha, that the woman took for Tifres, and the gear says Es Hamasach Apnei Be'er, and took this cloth covering over the opening of the fountain, Vatishtach Olav, the gear says Harifas, and spread on it this crushed grain. Or Vibayze Mahachi, you could bring a proof from a Pasuk in Mishlei, again, that this term Harafa means this crushed grain. Like it says in the Pasuk in Mishlei, it says Im Tichtoish Es Ho Evel B'machdish, even if you're going to crush the fool in the mortar, amongst the crushed grain, be'eli, in the pestle, still like the Pasuk says over there, loisosim alavivalti, not going to be able to remove from him his foolishness. It's no matter how much rebuke you're going to give him, you're going to crush him in the mortar, it's not going to help. But again, we see that the term harifas is a reference to crushed grain. Continuing on this theme of Golias, the Pasuk says in Shmuel Beis, es arbas eila yuldu laharafa begas, it was these four children that were born to this harafa in Gas, which is the name of a place. And all them fell in the hands of David and the hands of his servants. So, Maininu, who are these four sons? So, Rav Chisda, they were Saf, Umadon, Golias, who we were speaking about, and Vyishbi Benayv, which all these four are mentioned in Sefer Shmuel. Now, the Pasuk says, they fell in the hands of David and the hands of his servants. Just so like it says a Pasuk in Rus. Whereas again, as we explained, that Arpa and Harafa are the same woman. So it says, "Vatishak Arpa lachamaisa." So when Naomi was going back to Eretz Yisrael and she was telling her daughter-in-law, "No, don't come with me," so Arpa kissed her mother-in-law, but Verus davkaba, but Rus cleaved to her. She stayed with her. Amar Bitzchak, Amar Kadosh Baruch Hu. Hakadosh Baruch Hu said, "Yevoyu b'nei hanashuka," that let it the sons of the ones who kissed, meaning of Orpa, who kissed her mother-in-law in way of taking leave of her, meaning that she did not convert to the Jewish people, v'yiplu b'yad b'nei advuka, and let them fall in the hands of the woman that cleaved, meaning David HaMelech, who comes from Rus, was going to be the one that's going to conquer Golias, who comes from Arafa, who comes from Orpa. Now, Darsh Rav expanded, b'schar arba d'mois, shahrida Orpa al-chamois, in the reward of four tears that Orpa that shed for her mother-in-law, that she had to take leave of her, it was in that merit that she had these four mighty giants, which we just mentioned, those are the four brothers, one of them being Golias. Like it says in the Pasuk, but it says, that they lifted up their voices and they cried again, which was a second time, because before that it said, so from there we see that there was four tears. You have two times crying, and each time crying is from each I is one tear. Those are four tears. It's the merit of those four tears that she had, these four mighty giants. But again, the fact that she kissed and left her mother-in-law, her sons ended up being killed by the sons of Rus, who is Davik, which is David HaMelech conquering Golias and his brothers. Now, Ksiv, it says a pasuk in Shmuel Aleph that in regards to when it's talking about the great might of Golias, it says, Chetz Chanisa, the shaft of his spear. So it says, like in the pasuk, Kiminor Urgim, it's talking about how mighty it is, how big it was, like a weaver's pole. So that's the way it's written. But Vekarina and Eitzchanis, again, like as we mentioned before, there are certain words in the Torah or Nach that are written one way, but it's pronounced, we recite it as if it's a different word, it's pronounced the wood of his spear. Now, so why does it use, in the way that it's written, this term of Chetz? So again, the word Chetz means the shaft, but it also comes from the word of Chatzi, which is half. Which is as if the Torah is telling you that we didn't even tell you half of the might of Golias. So, and that is Omer Belazi, he says, Adain lo higanu lechatzi shvachah shel Eser Rasha. What this pasuk tells you is that we didn't come, although we were telling you the great might in the pasuk over there about Golias, we didn't even tell you half of the praise of that wicked person, how mighty he was. Now, so why does it only say, doesn't even say more than half? From here we learn that it's forbidden to tell over the great praise of wicked people. That's why it doesn't say more than half. So the Gemara asks, well, so then you shouldn't even say anything praiseworthy about him. Why does the Pasuk say about his great might? So that the Gemara explains, you're right, the only reason why we said it was to say about the praise of David that he fought with such a great mighty person and that he won. That's why we say it, but we only say up to half because we don't want to say so much praise about a wicked person. So again, that was regarding Goliath, again, where they come with the might of such a mighty giant, but again, it doesn't stand of a bus of a dumb in regards to us that we come with Hashem. So too, the Mishnah said, "Bnei Amon bo b'netzchein shashayvach v'chulu." The people of Amon came with the might of Shayvach, and what ended up happening, he was killed by the sword, and they all fell with him. Now, the Gemara says, "Ksiv." The pasuk in Shmuel Beis says his name was Shayvach, which also means devkat, which is a type of a little house that birds go into. Now, "Ksiv," but on the same point is the pasuk in Divrei Yamim Aleph that calls him Shayfach, which comes from the word of pouring. So what was his real name and what was his nickname? So Rav Shmuel, Chara Meshevach Shmai, one says that really his name was Shayfach. V'lem nekru Shmai Shayfach, Sha'asu Keshayfach, because he was built like a dovecot, and that's why he was called Shayfach. Now, which again, a different interpretation, it either means because it was tall like a Shayfach or because it had all these different holes and with armaments like a Shayfach. Now, V'chara Meshevach Shmai, the other one says actually his name was Shayfach. Why was it called Shayfach, which means pouring? Because whoever saw him, Nishbach Lafan of Kekin, would pour forth like a flask, which again meant to say that they would just totally melt in front of him because he was such a mighty person. Now, there's a pasuk in Yirmiyah that discusses the armies of Nebuchadnezzar. Now, as Rashi says, because we were just discussing a machlekes Rav and Shmuel regarding how to interpret Pesukim, so we say another machlekes Rav and Shmuel here too. Where the pasuk says, Ashpasai kekeva pesuach, his ashpa, which usually means heaps of rubbish, was like an open grave. Kulam gibarim, they were all mighty, all these warriors of the army of Nebuchadnezzar. Now, Rav Shmuel, there's a machlekes Rav Shmuel, but Amri Lah, some say it's actually machlekes Ami v'Rabasi. Chadama once says that, Bishosha zarkin chetz, at the time when one of the soldiers of Nebuchadnezzar's army would shoot an arrow, Eisen ashpes ashpes shel chalom, he would make mounds and mounds of piles of garbage of corpses. Now, maybe you're going to say it's only because that they were very professional in their warfare, but not that they were really mighty, just because they were good archers, let's say. That's what the pasuk teaches. No, they were all mighty. The other one says that this ashpa is a reference to something else. When they would take care of their needs, when they would defecate, they would make mounds and mounds of garbage, of excrement, because they ate so much because of their might. Now, maybe you're going to say that they made so much because of the intestinal illnesses that they had. That's what the pasuk teaches them, because they were mighty. They ate a lot and robust, and therefore they made mounds and mounds of excrement. Now, Rav Mari, parenthetically, Rav Mari says, Shema Minoah, what we learn from this, from the fact that it was said that maybe they mount mounds of excrement because of their intestinal illnesses, that we infer from there, Haiman, the Nafeshivli, someone that has a lot of waste matter, Chaylamayim, who it's a result of intestinal illnesses. Now, ask the Gemara, Lamay Nafkamin, what's the halachic relevance of that? It's Litrach Benefshe, it's that a person should go ahead and seek an ailment, to seek a healing for his ailment before his illness gets really worse. So if a person sees this Nafeshivli, it's to tell him that he should go ahead and try to find a healing for his intestinal illness. Now, another machlekes again between Reb Ami and Reb Asi, who we just quoted before, there's a pasuk in Mishlei that says, Daga b'lev ish, when there's worry in a person's heart, yashchena, which the way it's written is translated as a person should squash it. Now, Reb Ami, Reb Asi, however, there's a machlekes how to interpret this. Charamer, that it's with a sin, not a shin. Yisachena meidaita, he should just remove his mind from it. He shouldn't think about the worry. It's from the word of siach. He should talk it over with someone else. If someone has a problem, has a worry, talk it over with someone else. Now, the Gemara continues quoting from our Mishnah that said, okay, that was Goliath. That was Shevach. Etc. You're not like this. You have Hashem, your God, that's creator of the world, that's the Malkim. He's fighting for you. And therefore, you have nothing to worry. Ask the Gemara, Kol Kach Lama. Why does the Kayin, Hamshul Muhammad, say so much? In other words, what is this guarantee that is guaranteeing the Jewish people? Ki Hashem, Elikeichem, Ahilich, because it's Hashem, your God, that's going with you. And he doesn't say, because Hashem, your God, is with you. What is this going with you? It sounds like as if Hashem literally is going with them to fight. And the Gemara answers, yes. Because you have Hashem with all his different names that, as we continue on top of Mem Gilmot Alf, are Munach and Ba'ar, and they're placed in the ark which goes out with the Jewish people when they fight. So it's literally Hashem with all his names are going out with you to fight the war. So too, it says the Pasuk in Bamidbar, it says, Vayishlach Oysa Moshe, that Moshe Rabbeinu sent them, Elif Lamata, 1,000 to the tribe, Latzava to the army, Oysam, Ves Pinchas, them, and Pinchas. So who Oysam? So the Gemara explains, who's them? It already talks about Hashem sent them, which is the warriors that are fighting from all the people to fight the Midianites. Who's them? Elo Sanhedrin, that's a reference to the great court that they also go out. And Pinchas, what does it mean? Why is it singling out Pinchas? Zeh Meshuach Muhammad, he was, again, this halacha that we mentioned, when they fight a war, to have someone that's anointed for the war to say over these messages that's recorded in the Torah. And the Pasuk says that he sent that also with Klei HaKodesh, the holy vessels, Zeh Aron V'Lucha Shabbat. That's a reference, which again, that's why we're bringing this in over here, that's a reference that the ark and the luchis that were inside were also sent out to war. And that's Hashem HaHoylech Imachem, Hashem goes with you to fight the war. When the Pasuk says Vachatzaitis Hatrua, and that the blowing of the trumpets, Elo HaShofars, that's a reference to the shofars, the ram's horns that were also taken out with the Jewish people when they fight the war. Now, Tanu, once we introduce this Pasuk that talks about Moshe Rabbeinu sending out the Jewish people to fight against the Midianim, so Tanu learned the Braisa, Loi Lechinim Halach Pinchas al-Muhammad. It wasn't for nothing that Pinchas was the one that was going out to lead them in to fight this war against the Midianim. Because Elipara Dinaviima, he was going to take retribution and payback for his mother's father, for his grandfather. Shenema, like it says the Pasuk in Bereishis, Vahamadonim Machru Isa El Mitzrayim Begoyim. The Midianim were very instrumental in bringing Yosef down to Egypt. So now he's taking revenge that they sold his grandfather Yosef down to Egypt. And that's why he was here playing a pivotal role in fighting the war against the people of Midian. Now, the Gemara asks, remember the Pinchas from Yosef? Is that to say that Pinchas comes from Yosef? But Vaksiv the Pasuk says in Shemoyiz, Ve'alozer ben Aharon, that Elozer ben Aharon, who gave birth to Pinchas, Lakach le memnais Putiel le Leisha, he took from the daughters of Putiel for himself a wife. Now, my love, doesn't that make sense that it means the Asim Yisroi? He took a woman, so on his father's side, he's definitely not from Yosef because he comes from Aaron, comes from Shevet Levi. And then, but even by his mother's side, we see that it comes from Yisroi, let alone from one of the Shvatim. It comes from Yisroi, which is not even from the Jewish people. That he fattened calves for idol worship. Because before he became part of the Jewish people, he served idols. So that's where the word benoiz putil comes from, pitim, of fattening. So how can you say that he comes from Yosef? The Gemara says, Loi, no. When it says that his father took from the daughters of Putiel, it means from the family of Yosef. Why would Yosef be called Putiel? Shepitbit beYitzroi, because he degraded and he conquered and he considered insignificant his evil inclination. That's the word pit comes from, that pit that he was just looked down on it. And therefore he did come from Yosef. And that's why he was fighting this war against Midian. But the Gemara asks on this interpretation. But as the Gemara tells us in Masechta Sanhedrin of Pei Beis Mabeis, the rest of the tribes were degrading Pinchas after he went and killed Cusbi, and he killed and he took revenge on the Nasi of Zimri of Shevet Shimon, that they said Reisim ben Puti Zeh, look at this son of this Puti, which they said Ben Shepitim Avi'imay Agolma Avodizikacham, look at this guy, his grandfather fattened calves for idol worship, Yaharig Nasi Yisrael, and he's killing a prince in the Jewish people. Who does he think he is? He thinks he's a kanoi. He's a lowlife. Now, therefore, the Pasuk actually had to give his lineage over there, that he was Pinchas ben Elozer ben Aharon HaKohen, because everyone was degrading him, saying this, who does he think he is, taking revenge and killing what he thought was considered an immoral act. So we see that that he was from Putiel as a reference to Yisroi, and not to Yosef. So El Rav, the Gemara concludes, you're right. Iavu de'imim Yosef, if his mother's father was from Yosef, his mother's mother was from Yisroi. And if his mother's mother was from Yosef, then his mother's father was from Yisrael. Meaning paternally, he comes from Shevet Levi. Maternally, there's somewhere mixed over there. Either one or the other is coming from Yisrael or from Yosef. So he actually comes from both. As the Gemara says, Deganami, actually precise reading seems to indicate that the pit of Putiel actually refers to both Yosef and Yisrael of Pitim, Agolim, Labotikichavim, and Pit B'Yitzray. Because the Chesiv, the Pasuk says, Mibnois Putiel. It says with a Yud, which Trey Mashmi sounds like that there's two Pitim over here, because it doesn't say Putiel without a Yud. Shema Menov, and then you can infer that actually he comes from both from Yosef and from Yisrael. So yes, they were making fun of him, that how can you go out and kill a Nasi B'Yisrael where your grandfather was stuffing calves for idol worship? That's one reference of Putiel. But on the other hand, he was fighting the war against Midian because he was taking revenge for his grandfather, which is Yosef HaTzadik, who was sold down to Egypt by the Minyanim, because that's another reference of Putiel, which references to his grandfather Yosef, who is Pitbit B'Yitzrei.